Up first, though, in the 5 o'clock hour today, we get on board the telephone line and welcome in our friend Sean McAdam of MassLive.com. Hello there, Sean.
Rich, how are you?
Doing all right, thank you, on this Friday afternoon, and feeling pretty good about the Red Sox season now that they made the big Reese McGuire signing.
Yeah, that should assuage everyone's frustration throughout New England, I think. We can all go to bed with dreams of a duck boat parade just a mere 11 months away.
I feel like the last 2 weeks has been seeing various reports about guys the Red Sox are linked to, most recently Marcus Stroman, and then within 24 hours they've signed with somebody else. It almost makes me think like maybe the Red Sox are putting that info out there.
I don't think that's the case. You know, my experience in this business is that 95% of the time, if you're reading about a free agent attracting interest, it's almost always coming from the agent. Teams would be very happy, even if you were to sort of extrapolate this and say, well, they would love to have people think they're at least trying. Most general managers and baseball executives would rather back a truck over their own mother than reveal anything they're up to, good or bad. So I appreciate the conspiracy theory under which you're working, Rich, but I'm here to poke a bit of hole in that theory.
All right, all right. Well, we'll talk about UFOs later on with you. So they still need to flesh out that pitching staff, particularly the rotation. So who's left out there who is within their budgetary limits?
Well, I guess in a perfect world, you wait out somebody like Jordan Montgomery and hope that the market kind of collapses a little bit and comes down to within your budgetary restraints. I think that for somebody like Montgomery, who's got some interest to go back to Texas, the Yankees, at least before they signed Stroman, had signaled an interest in him. So how many other teams are still pursuing him, I don't know. That probably is wishful thinking on the part of the Red Sox that Montgomery's asking price is going to come way down. I still think, along with Blake Snell, those are probably the two best remaining starting pitchers on the free agent market. You know, after that, you start getting into people, you know, kind of in that Stroman category. And there's nobody there that really gets you excited. They can help out the back end of their rotation with those guys in the middle and lower middle class areas of free agency. But what they need is someone to impact from three or better, meaning the middle of the rotation toward the top of the rotation. And you're not going to find those guys, you know, for under $20 million a year at this point. So knowing what we think we know about the budgetary constraints that have to be observed, I think it's far more likely they end up addressing that through a trade. And it's a matter of, you know, finding the right partner there. And just as there are dangers to overspending in free agency with your dollars, there's the same fear that you're going to have that happen to you in the trade market, except now you're not giving up tens of millions, you're giving up, you know, some good controllable young players or even top prospects to do that.
Yeah, I'm thinking, would a guy like Dylan Cease have too much of a price tag, or maybe one of those young pitchers from the Marlins?
Yeah, I think you know, both of those would be of interest to the Red Sox. From everything I understand with people who are familiar with the White Sox talk, the Red Sox are not real players there. Whether they believe that they need more than 2 years of control, which is what Cease has remaining, or whether the asking price is too high, but they do not seem to be serious players for Dylan Cease. I don't think they're in on Shane Bieber, who only has a year of control left from Cleveland. you know, and I'm pretty sure they don't have any interest in Corbin Burns because he, too, only has a year of control left. The guys in Miami that you're talking about, people like Lizardo and Cabrera, are better fit in that they have 3 or more years of control remaining. But the tricky part there is that, you know, that asking price goes up because even though they may not be as accomplished as somebody like Burns or Cease or Bieber, they haven't won Cy Young Awards as some of those guys have, then you're paying for the additional control. So no matter where you look, you know, it's going to be costly to address this pitching need.
We're talking with Sean McAdam here on Downtown. As far as the current members of the Red Sox roster who may be elsewhere at some point in the season, do you think they're serious about moving Kenley Jansen either before the season or maybe at the trade deadline?
Yeah, I would think either. I think there might be less urgency from a strictly payroll standpoint. It seemed like they were sending out messages to people in the industry as recently as a few weeks ago that they would have to unload some money before they took on a big contract. I think that may have been centered around somebody like Teoscar Hernandez, who we know now is, like everybody else, it seems, signed with the Dodgers. It seems like there's less urgency to cut for budgetary reasons, but it may well be that they think that at 35 and where the Red Sox figure to be in 24, which might be kind of on the fringe of the playoff picture, if I'm being generous, then having a guy like Jansen at $16 million while he performed well last year, maybe you could allocate that money more efficiently if you were to trade him and then use that money to address some other needs and free up the closer spot to somebody like Tanner Houck or anybody else in-house that they think is capable to take over that role. But there's, you know, there's some risk there, too. You know, Jansen gave them some stability at the back end last year, which they had been without the previous couple of seasons when they didn't have an experienced closer. So, long story short, I think that Jansen is far from untouchable. They have sent out word that they would at least entertain offers for him, but they're not going to give him away either, and they'll only do it if they think it makes some sense, rather than keeping him for the final year of his contract.
Do you think there are any free agent bats left out there that they might still have an interest in?
Well, I would say yes, except that, you know, they seem to be on record as not favoring a full-time DH, which they kind of had last year with Justin Turner and certainly had the few years before with J.D. Martinez. Now, as it happens, both those guys are available still and would address their need for having a right-handed production bat to slot in between Devers and Casas. And I do think they could use that because they are so left-handed leaning right now. But that would seem to go against the philosophy that Breslow has espoused since his hiring, that he would rather rotate guys through that DH spot and not have one player dedicated for that role to get 450 or 500 at bats in that capacity. I think they'd like the opportunity to have guys like Yoshida and Devers and maybe even Casas occasionally get off their feet and fill those DH at bats. If they want to shift that philosophically, they can go back to either one of their last two DHs. As I said, both Turner and Martinez are available. My guess is that that's not where they're looking. And so if you look at the remaining free agent market, there's not a lot out there. You know, there is a guy like Jorge Soler who profiles to be a good righty power bat for Fenway, but not as good an outfielder as, say, Hernandez, who they had some interest in. whether they think they can work Soler into the outfield and still get DH at bats. But it's a bit of a mystery how they solve that, kind of like, you know, the clock ticking and the starting pitching options dwindling down on them.
So if they don't make any other moves as far as bats go, how do you see the outfield shaking out, and which of these young guys are likely to land a starting position?
Well, I actually talked to Kyle Hudson, who served as the first base coach and will either be the first base coach or third base coach coming up this year, but will continue as the outfield instructor. And he was pretty bullish on the outfield group that they have, and I understand why. Other than Yoshida, they've got a lot of pretty good defensive options out there. Tyler O'Neill, who they got in the trade with the Cardinals, is a two-time Gold Glove winner. He can play all three outfield spots. Duran, we've seen, certainly being able to play left and center. I don't know that he has the arm strength to play right field, particularly in Fenway, but I suppose he could do it on occasion. And then you've got the two younger guys in Abreu and Sedan Rafaela, both of whom are plus defenders. Rafaela might be considered a plus-plus defender. And I think you're going to see a lot of mixing and matching. I don't know that we're going to see necessarily an everyday center fielder or an everyday right fielder. I think it's more likely they mix and match a lot, move a lot of those guys around. The one guy they can't move much is Yoshida. He's pretty limited in left field at Fenway, which should be easy to play, but as you showed us, it's not always the case. But they feel pretty good about the other four guys, any one of whom can play all three spots.
And we mentioned Reese McGuire, 1 year for him. They've got Connor Wong all set. Do they think that Kyle Teal is a guy who might make it to the majors before 24 is over?
I suppose that's possible in the second half. I think it's more likely that he gets a full, if not most of the year, development time, initially at Portland, and then I would expect Worcester. He's very advanced. He played in a good college conference at ACC, so he played against good competition. And I would think they look at him as a guy that could be the number one catcher in 25. And I suppose somebody who could get a look in September of 24. But again, you know, given that catchers tend to develop a little later, I think they want to give him all the development time they can this year at AA and then AAA, and then, you know, maybe toward the end of the year he gets brought up and exposed to the big league environment and then ready to seize the first job in the following spring in February of 25.
Sean McAdam of Mass Live here on Downtown. Great stuff as always. Thanks so much for joining us, Sean. Hope your weekend goes well, and we'll catch up with you again before too long.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Rich.
Oh, you're very welcome. We are at 16 minutes after the hour here on Downtown.